Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Comedy of Errors, known as the Julianne Psychic Medium Show. Millie, if you're out there, we need you to call in. 877-876-5227. Hello, Pierre. I know you're out there. Hello, Dad. I feel you here, too. I know you're behind us. Hello, everyone else. We're very glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll be taking the show, hopefully, in a bit of a different direction tonight. I have a special guest who is a wonderful new hypnotherapy practitioner and has recently stepped up onto the grand stage. She'll be taking our spotlight tonight. You won't want to miss this in the next hour. If you're listening, special guest, we need you to call in at 877-876-5227. Those of you who are loyal listeners know I'm a mediumship teacher, group facilitator, and metaphysical networker. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Body Mind Spirit Foundation, based in Anchorage, Alaska. My goal is to teach and to network in the metaphysical realm. I'm not limited by where I live, and when I find a new and focused reader, hearer, or teacher, I love to share that energy with those who are wishing to connect with an additional resource. It's come to my awareness the need to introduce new resources to those who are seeking. Expect a new and surprising direction every other week as we grow and expand together. If you would like to book a private reading with me off the air, please do. Click on my show title for the email address to contact me directly. This is the season that so many people feel the sting and the need to connect with those who have crossed. I'm here to assist you if you are ready to reach out. I schedule readings during normal business hours. I've been getting a lot of email feedback from the listening audience. First and foremost, I want to thank each and every one of you who have taken the time to write and respond with feedback to your readings. That is the exchange I ask for doing live readings on the air. An even exchange of energy is what keeps our world in balance. It is also what throws energy into disarray, which is what many on the planet are experiencing at this time. For those who still have feedback to send, please take your time, but please do send it. It's important for you to write it down, and it's important for me to receive it. Feedback helps me to sharpen my symbolic pencil, but it has also helped me to understand that there is such a need to explain what a psychic medium is and the purpose of mediumship. Tonight, hopefully, because we have a special guest, and we'll be going into another mind-blowing and thought-provoking direction, I want to ask that when calling in, you direct your questions to her and hypnosis and past life regression. For those of you that want to call in, here are the toll-free numbers. Toll-free in the United States and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide is 877-489-6350. Direct line, if you want to pay for the call, is 530-776-5154. We also have call-in one station numbers tonight. Those are 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. If you get a busy signal, just keep trying. In keeping with the educational part of our show, I'd like to review a few key points in regards to mediumship. The number one purpose of a psychic medium is to help those here understand that consciousness continues on after the transition we call death. Mediums are not mind readers, and we don't have all the answers to life's questions. We are in tune with the energy that is crossed, much like a telephone transmits the voice of the person calling you. As a telephone, we can't decide who or what information will come through for you. Our job is to help it come through for you. Much of what we get is symbolic in nature, so it is imperative that you are able to either follow the direction we are being led or to take notes for later exploration. Many times, readings will take a while to digest, and deeper meanings will reveal themselves in their own time. Communication is a process, and each step or realization has a deep meaning. We don't work like a drive-through or a microwave. Speed is not necessarily the best approach in the process. Mediumship is more like a slowly cooked and savory meal. Always remember that your future is never set in stone, and you are creating it with your every thought and action. Never give that creation away to another. Asking for wise counsel is always best, but the decisions in life are always yours and yours alone. That being said, I'd like to introduce you to my very special guest, Millie Govich. She is the proud owner of Hypno Connection, which you can find on the internet at www.hypnosisforhealth.net. Good evening, Millie.
Good evening, Julie.
You made it!
Right, yes.
I have to tell you, this is an anniversary of my dad's, and my dad was just a total practical joker, so I know he's behind the little blip in the road we just had.
Okay, that explains it.
Yeah, this is something he would do, and he's probably getting a great laugh out of it, so thanks a lot. As usual, before we get started with any kind of work with the energy from across the veil, and I know we want to talk to Millie, we need to claim our faith. Please join me as I do this for all of us collectively. Guides, guardians, angels, thank you for this time and thank you for this place. We ask that you surround us in a bubble of white, Christ-like consciousness and energy at this time. We ask that our karma be balanced forward and backward, and that all answers come from the current road that we walk in life. We now open the gate to guides, guardians, and angels who are fifth dimension and higher priests. Friends and family who have crossed and can behave, you're welcome to come through and assist at this time. We firmly close the gate to those who carry negativity and dross, and who have crossed through the left-hand door with ulterior motives. You're not welcome in our heads, our hearts, our homes, here or hereafter. We call upon the archangels, pointing in each direction. Please surround us individually, please surround us collectively. And with this claiming of our space, we will now begin. I had the privilege of having a PLR, or a past life regression, with Millie, and I was very happy with the results. You were able to bring out some very interesting truths for my subconscious, which I'm still rolling around in my mind. Millie, I will never look at a rose music or a baby-faced toddler in the same way again. Millie, how did you decide to do the type of hypnosis that you do? We lost Millie in cyberspace, so we're going to wing it until she comes back. I got to have a past life regression with Millie, and it was really kind of a cool thing. She called me up really early at 6 o'clock in the morning here, so I was ready to meditate.
Have your guest.
Okay. All right. Millie, are you back?
Apparently I am.
Yay! Okay. Millie, how did you decide to do the type of hypnosis that you do?
Well, I've had the opportunity to be hypnotized about 15 years ago. And
was it a good experience?
Okay. Am I still with you?
You are still with me.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm sure there. Okay. Okay, as I was saying, I had this opportunity to be hypnotized about 15 years ago, and I had this amazing, spontaneous experience. I just loved how it felt to be hypnotized, and I thought, gee, I'd like to be a therapist. But it felt to me like something was missing, something I needed to do beyond the clinical hypnosis that I had experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Then I came across information about client-centered hypnosis, and I knew that was what was missing.
So you mentioned there are two different kinds of hypnosis. Can you explain what that difference is?
Well, the kind of hypnosis that I practice is called client-centered rather than clinical. In clinical hypnosis, generally, the client is led through an induction. And then if they're inclined to be hypnotized, they will be. If they resist, they won't be. The client is led through a visualization, and that should fix their problem, but it's usually not interactive, and the therapist is in charge. Unless the therapist can read the subconscious, it's unlikely they're going to nail the problem without multiple sessions. And it's common for a client to not even be sure what the whole issue is themselves, so it can be difficult for them to tell the therapist. In the client-centered approach, I lead the client through an induction in such a way that they choose to go along with it. They feel in control and completely aware of what's taking place. To date, I've not had anyone I could not get into trance, even with the phone hypnosis. And even if attempts have been made that failed for them with other therapists. So depending on the reason for this session, I'll choose a setting to work in and then ask the subconscious to explain the problem. And it will. I then ask the subconscious to provide the proper method of healing, and it does. It does not require revisiting the trauma, but rather focusing on the emotional feelings that are the result of the trauma. This is in-trance healing, and it comes from the client themselves. I've had times when the subconscious refuses to do a PLR until an in-trance healing removes the serious emotional block. The subconscious is always looking for a way to heal the client. And Dr. Brian Weiss has said that after doing thousands of regressions, he sees repeatedly that we continue to return here in lifetime to heal and to learn.
Boy, that's true on a lot of levels. How does this kind of hypnosis use for weight loss?
When I work with weight loss issues, the number one objective is healing.
Mm-hmm.
Most weight issues are emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
Most have to do with protecting the client from additional emotional damage. The subconscious has only so many tools to work with, and additional weight as a barrier is the most effective.
Mm-hmm.
By having an interactive dialogue with the subconscious, I can offer an alternative method of getting for the client what they get from having the additional weight. When the subconscious sees that its objective can be obtained without using additional weight to do it, it will agree to stop tripping up the client every time they start losing enough weight to be out of what the subconscious considers the safety zone.
Well, that's really interesting. How effective is hypnosis, or how many sessions does it take for a weight loss program to work?
Well, in clinical hypnosis, it's the standard for a client to return for many sessions for months. But again, they've not touched on a core reason for the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I do a session that's approximately 2 hours.
Wow.
The client receives a short CD to play at bedtime. They're taught in trance how to work with color and how to trigger that feel good emotion they so desperately need. They learn how to quickly short-circuit stress and tension that can trigger eating. Generally, that one session is all that's needed. Sometimes they need a brief follow-up session, or more likely a phone discussion to clarify some issues, all they need.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. You mentioned phone hypnosis. Can you explain what that is?
Well, phone hypnosis, when done properly, is just as effective as an in-person session. In fact, it's easier to relax in your own home where you're comfortable and familiar. Not all advertised phone hypnosis is live and interactive, but when you're talking to me on the phone, it's me. It's not a recording. It is live. It is interactive.
I really enjoyed your session. I've done it before, and I really, really enjoyed yours because I did feel like we were talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is where I'm really interested, and I'm sure this is where a lot of our listeners are interested. Your clients often see spirits during their sessions. Explain that.
Well, that when I started doing this, that was a bit of a surprise to me, too. But in most sessions, whether it's past life regression or weight issues or even to quit smoking, it is common for spirits to enter the session if the client is open to that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The client sees them clearly and interacts with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit animal, called a totem animal, will often appear and talk to the client.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do not tell them what they will see because I don't know. This is not what's called a hypnotic suggestion. It is the client being open to such visits and those in spirit wanting to make the connection to the client. I just follow my intuition and guiding the client, but ultimately they are leading the session to what they need at this time. Mm-hmm. The spirits may be loved ones in spirit, might be the inner child. It can even be someone they don't know personally that they would like to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But for such things to take place, both the client and the therapist need to be open to it. The client may have hopes of seeing someone in particular, but ultimately it's about those in spirit choosing to engage in the visit.
Do you remember what my totem animal was?
God, a camel.
A camel.
Yeah, that was the first camel I'd come across.
Well, that was a first for me, too. But the first time I did that, I got an armadillo, so I am just not normal. How do they get to see someone that they don't even know? I thought that was really interesting.
Well, you know, anyone can talk to spirit at any time, and you don't know if they're listening, but if you ask them to come and they do, well, you know you had their attention.
Mm-hmm.
I had a case where there was a request for Edgar Cayce to come and teach about healing. He showed up in a professor role and a podium, and he began teaching.
Wow, that had to be cool.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Well, what about past life regression? What do you expect if you've never had one before? What would you expect to happen?
Well, in the type of past life regression that I do, if your subconscious believes that it's a good and healing thing for you, you will visit past lives. But sometimes spirit has other ideas. PLR can answer many questions about why your life is the way it is, why you are the way you are, but sometimes you find yourself in a completely different situation than the PLR because it's time for you to learn something, and spirit is going to use this opportunity to present that information to you. So there are often surprises which validate that it's not your imagination, that you would not even have thought up some of this stuff. I've had some clients progress to the future as well. Now, that's interesting because the future is probable, so this gives you a heads up. You can change things, so there's a different outcome. Sometimes a couple of different futures are presented. I worked with one client who was trying to decide between two different men to marry. A trip to the future showed that either one would result in a potentially happy marriage. So I took her on a trip to the past, and we found that she had married both men in different lifetimes, and she had happy lifetimes with both of them, so it made her decision even harder.
Yeah, let's complicate this even more. Were there things to finish from both of those lifetimes?
Actually, no. It was quite interesting to go from lifetime to lifetime and follow the whole lifetime through and find out she just had happy lifetime after happy lifetime, just switching back and forth between these two men. Well, some people do that now.
Well, I was going to say that, yeah. That's really interesting. During a regression, do people recognize people back in the past life who they know from this life?
Oh, yes, they do. Even though the person may be a man then and a woman now and look completely different, we recognize their energy. That never changes. I had one client who found herself back in a castle giving birth in a birthing chair. Now, she did not even know there was such a thing. But as she looked closer at the people who were around her, she says, "Hey, that doctor is my stepfather."
Wow.
That didn't go over real well.
No.
Brian White says we experience being every race, religion, male and female, rich and poor. That's how we learn compassion and empathy. Because if, say, we're poor this lifetime and then rich in the next lifetime, we're more likely to want to help the poor, having been in their shoes. Not unusual either to work with the same theme as we move through lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
We may be a scholar, for example, and continue that even though we change religions and politics and races.
Mm-hmm.
It's why someone is born with extraordinary music talent or artistic talent. They have done that in previous lifetimes and are picking up where they left off.
Mm-hmm.
I see past life regression as being like finding a diary you'd forgotten you had. And as you read it, the memories of what you wrote about come back to you. You discover who you were, and you heal who you are.
Very interesting. Well, I have to ask, when you're doing regression, do you ever get insight into Millie when you're regressing someone else?
Do I get what?
Do you get messages for you or insight into you?
Oh, yes. Yes, that has happened a few times, and it was quite startling.
Yeah.
When the client was talking to someone in spirit, and they see them very clearly, and but the thing is, they tend to want to just stand there and look. You know, they're in such awe, and I have to prod them to ask questions and look around and see things.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times it's happened now where the person they were talking to said, tell Millie this, and it made me realize that the spirit that's visiting the client is very aware of exactly what we're doing, what the setup is, and they know I'm here.
Isn't that something?
It is, and the messages that I got were quite extraordinary.
Yeah, I just,
in fact, the one was a test on my part because this had been such an amazing experience to me that I was having some trouble believing it was all real. And so I put together a test. I talked to one of my guides during the day, knowing I was going to be doing a session that night. And I had a question, and I needed an answer from him. And I told him, I said, I want you to come in that session tonight and give the answer in the session to the client. And he showed up, and he gave the answer, completely confusing her because she had no idea what this was about. And I told her, I said, don't worry about it. I know exactly what he meant. Just go on, and we'll discuss it after the session. But it was so amazing because there's no way she could have come up with that. So it was absolute proof to me that these really are guides and other spirits who come in these sessions.
So do you see a parallel between what you do and mediumship?
There is a parallel in that we're getting information from spirit, but the main difference is you're getting the information for your client. I'm not. I'm just setting up the scene and making
that
it
would be
possible.
The way to be a medium. Please call me and do your own reading.
Yeah. That is about it. Yeah, they are getting the information themselves directly, but the thing is, they still need me to prod them because sometimes they're just so blown away by what they're seeing that they just want to stand there and stare.
They just want to gawk. Yeah.
Yeah, and I will tell them, you know, they're in a crowd of people. You know, go around, move up to the front to the person who's speaking, so you can talk to them, and I'll prod them to go ask this question. You know, they need the information, but they'll just stand there like we do in dreams. Actually, I relate this a lot more to dreaming because it's like
you
an interactive dream.
You do dream interpretation too, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You're
and
pretty good.
that's where I started out, and when I was led to doing this type of work, mm-hmm. I saw very much the correlation between the two, because mm-hmm. in this type of work, there's a lot of symbolism used too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, symbolism, I know, is really big in meetings. I've been a lot of times trying to help people understand, you know, we'll be seeing this, but it might not be literally this. It might actually be symbolic of a meaning or something.
And the difficulty there for you is mm-hmm. that you're trying to interpret what you're seeing for
right.
a client who may understand it completely differently.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas, like when you were in trance, what you were seeing, you were interpreting. I wasn't doing the interpreting.
Yeah.
So
that
you
really that was a very cool experience, by the way. I went into it was an English house, right?
Right.
Yeah, like a manor. I just remember all the glass and looking around, and then ending up in the garden. And it was just I didn't really want to leave.
That's the thing. It feels very good. That's what hooked me on it 15 years ago. Is it's such
mm-hmm.
a wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to go in and out of that kind of trance several times a day. We pass
mm-hmm.
through that stage going to sleep and waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And when we find ourselves sitting and staring and out of focus, and we will continue doing it because it feels good, that is a hypnotic trance. And yet we're in control. We can end it any time we want, but it feels good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think you can get addicted to being hypnotized.
I think so. I think we'd all be happier if we just walked around in a trance.
Right. All out of focus.
Not really zombies, but happy people.
Bumping into things.
Yeah. I want to talk about themes. Are you really starting to notice people with the same themes or a lot of the similarities in things? Do you notice that there's like higher consciousness trying to come through, like see the bigger picture?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Uh-huh.
I was very blown away the first time I hypnotized someone to regress them, and he, in trance, told me he did not have any past life.
You're kidding.
And I was like, oh, okay, where did you come from?
Uh-oh.
And as I questioned him, he said that he had come for a special purpose, and it was about healing, doing emotional healing on the planet. And my first question then was, are there more like you here? And
uh-huh.
he said, oh yes, there are many who have come now at this time for this purpose.
Did he know where he came from?
Pardon?
Did he know where he came from?
That he didn't tell me. I have to admit that I was so blown away that I didn't ask him that.
Yeah.
I did ask him if he personally knew others like him. And he
uh-huh.
said, yes, he did, that his boss was one of them.
Really?
And when I brought him out of the trance, he just sat there staring. He didn't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
He was just, you know, in such awe of what he knew. And he carrying that knowledge around with him. And he had come to me in the first place because he said he felt like he was here for a special reason, and he could not find out what it was. And he said, how can I do what I'm here for if I don't know what it is?
Right.
And so then he knew what it was. But he was not the only one that I regressed who didn't have a past life.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the spirits that have come have been very interesting. Two different clients at different times had someone come that was from another dimension.
Really?
And I found that very interesting, especially the one case, because she said she felt such a mother feeling with that being who had come. She said she felt very much like it was her mother.
Was she able to describe the dimension and where she came from?
I didn't hear you clearly.
Was she able to describe where she came from?
The client seemed to know when she, it's like she recognized the being and knew right away that she had come from another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And she said there was that mother feeling, and then she said that the being took out a necklace and gave it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting thing to realize. You know, we have talked often about other dimensions, and if people travel back and forth between them, and here on two different occasions, beings from other dimensions showed up. Sometimes when people have had one of these sessions and they have talked to totem animals and find out that they talk back, what I found interesting is most totem animals have people names. Because if you ask them, and I always tell them you just speak to them telepathically, you ask them, what's your name? They'll tell you. And they ask them, and in 9 out of 10 cases, it's a people name.
Yeah. Like my camel could have been named Phyllis.
Yeah.
I don't think we asked it. I don't remember. But that name just popped in my head while you were talking.
you must have asked, because that's one thing I always do, is tell you to ask totem animal for its name.
I'm just wondering, and I think it would be so neat if you had somebody in the future that can't be like that, if you could ask them to describe, you know, what is the landscape or what does it look like where you came from? Wouldn't that be interesting?
I did do that with someone just recently, and it was very interesting because he was... She did have past life, they just weren't here. So that can be very startling for somebody to find out some of these things.
Yeah. I'm not adopted, I'm not from here.
What I would like to find out, too, is about our pets and if they have done lifetimes with us before. If they come back as, you know, another dog this time and you've had them before, it would seem like that would be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing I have to put on my list to ask them about. But you can request to see certain people, and it may involve having to go back in time. You know, past life regression, you can go back to see someone. I've had people that wanted to go back to Jerusalem when Jesus was there, and they were able to see him and talk to him.
That's when I got interested in PLR. I've actually met Nick Unis. I had a bunch of them in Portland, who is the reincarnation of the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
And he is.
I have read his book. Now, I haven't had anyone go back there yet who has seen the Apostle Paul, but an interesting thing that did happen was I had a past life regression done on me about 5 years ago, and it was a group session, which worked. I hypnotized very easily, but you don't have anybody guiding you to do this and that, and I was on a wagon train, and the Indians killed me, and that was it. But that started me having spontaneous memories. I would have dreams of past life, and even when I was awake, I would have memories come to me. And I had several memories from Jerusalem as a young boy and then later as a man. And I remember the man one when I was having the memory, and I thought right away, am I male or female? And I looked down at my feet, and I had big feet, and I thought, I'm a man. But when I regressed a client back to Jerusalem, mm-hmm. she saw me there.
Really?
Now, I knew I was back there as a man, and she saw me as a man, and she was in a gathering to listen to Jesus talk, and she saw me there, too.
Now, that had to be interesting.
It was very interesting because she watched him after he had finished talking. She watched him moving among the crowd and talking to different ones, and that he came over to me, she said, and put his hands on my shoulders and leaned over to speak into my ear.
Wow.
And so I thought, oh, geez, I got to have somebody regress me so I can go back
yeah.
and find out what was going on.
Uh-huh.
Because my own memories do not include seeing Jesus. Mm-hmm. I saw people that I know well in this lifetime back there.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed me that some people just do not learn their life lessons, because there was a man that in this lifetime was such uh-huh. a jerk. And there he was back there in Jerusalem as a Roman official, and the same thing. He was such a jerk. He had changed at all that time.
That makes me wonder about a few politicians.
Yeah, so you assume that people, you know, learn something and progress. Uh-huh. Apparently not everyone does that.
Well, yeah.
Apparently, some people progress a lot faster than other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you do recognize them. I know I sure did. I knew these people right away. And in that particular memory, I was a boy of about 14.
With Jesus?
And I was just so excited when I saw those people that I know in this lifetime. So, yeah, this is very interesting stuff. It tends to make you see yourself as so much more than just this lifetime.
Well, yeah, see the bigger picture.
Yeah, the much bigger picture, and you start seeing yourself as all those lifetimes combined. And
I have a question for you, Millie.
Sure.
When I have people come to me and they want to know who they were in a past life, can I send them your way?
Well, you certainly can.
Yeah, and you can.
As long as they are up for anything.
Yeah. Well, if they come to see me, they usually are. But that's the one thing that I get a lot of requests for, and I just kind of, the way that I see things and the kind of reader that I am is I see the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to go to the life themes instead of the individual lifetime. So it's really cool to know somebody who does it.
Yeah, it's interesting for them to see it themselves. It has
mm-hmm.
such an impact on them. Sometimes you may not hear anything from them for days as they mm-hmm. try to digest what they have seen
right.
and interacted with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It changes you.
I think gobsmacked would be the term for that. Yeah. That's neat that you're doing that, because I know a lot of past life regressionists won't do phone sessions anymore. I don't know why that is, so it's really great to know that you're out there.
I wonder why they don't do that. If they had difficulty getting people into trance, if that's it, there must be some reason, because I like the phone sessions. Like I said before,
mm-hmm.
they relax so much better in their own home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I prefer to read over the phone myself because I don't have any distractions. I don't know what people look like. I don't know. I have nothing to distract me.
Yeah, so I find that I can just step back and close my eyes and focus on what's going on with the client so I can tune into my intuition without being distracted. But now you had the phone session and you could just relax and be comfortable in your house without wondering or feeling the energy of a strange place and
right.
who, you know, strange people. You were just there with your little dogs, then you could get comfortable however you wanted to be.
Well, speaking of little dogs, I have Pomeranians, which are entities in their own right. But I have one little dog, Sir Percival, who looks at me with the utmost love in his eyes, and he sees no one else but me. And I had to wonder, when you were talking about if they've reincarnated with us before, I've had people tell me that dog has been with me as a person, and that that's why he loves me so much and sees nobody else. So you brought up an interesting thought that it could be I could be regressed, or we could be regressed to find out who he was. That'd be kind of
you know, there is something else that we can do that I have done with someone, and that surrogate, a reading, but you hold the dog, and I hypnotize you, and you tune into the dog, and you actually get the information from the dog. I've done that, and it works.
Well, maybe we'll have to try that later after the holidays. That would be interesting to know. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they find you?
Well, the best way would be to go to my website, my email, my phone number are there, and the website is www.hypnosisforhealth, and it's the number 4, hypnosis4health.net. If you do .com, you're going to get somebody else. It's .net.
.net, don't... I've done that.
Right.
Millie, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on, and thanks for being such a good sport.
Loved it. It was fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll have you on again. That was very enjoyable. Have a wonderful
thank
evening.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Everyone, have a great evening. Good night.